Great Father's Day. You know, a couple of things I wanted to say with you. It's interesting. I was reading yesterday about Father's Day, and they said that there are more phone calls made on Father's Day than on Mother's Day. Did you know that? True, according to AT&T and according to their statistics. But it's interesting. They said the difference is the calls on Father's Day are mostly collect. So if you call Dad today, don't call him collect. Okay, you foot the bill and be a blessing to Dad and minister to Dad. Interesting. Bill Cosby tells us, you know, he sees the difference between a Father's Day and a Mother's Day. And I thought this was kind of cute the way he looked at the difference. He said, here's the difference in Father's Day and Mother's Day. He said, Mother's Day is a much bigger deal because mothers are more organized. Mothers save their children. Now, here's a list of what I want. Go get the money from your father and you surprise me on Mother's Day. He said, Dads, he said, here's what I used to do. I would just give my kids, five of my kids, I'd give them each $20 and say, go and buy Dad a gift, a total of $100. He said they would go to the store together, buy two packages of underwear, each take out a piece of underwear, wrap it up for me, give the extra one to Salvation Army to feel good about it. And he said then they'd keep the other $90 and put it in their pocket. So don't do that either, okay, guys? Honor your fathers. Honor your mothers. Love them. And again, just want to say happy Father's Day again to all the dads here today. Why don't we open our Bibles to Mark chapter 10 as we continue on through the book of Mark. Going to be looking at verses 32 through 34. And we're not going to get all the way through them. We're actually going to look at verse 32 and then look at verse 33 a little bit. And we're going to spend the next two or three weeks looking more in detail at these verses. There's a lot in these I want to cover. But let's read them together and then we'll go back and look at what we're going to look at today. It says, now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took the 12 aside and again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. And he said, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. Let's pray. As I said, guys, we're going to spend the next few weeks looking at what I'm going to call the way of the cross. And what do I mean by that? Well, probably most of you already know what I mean by that, but it was Jesus going to the cross in his crucifixion. And again, we're going to see specifically today what the Lord says he's going to be doing. And then over the next few weeks after that, as we go through the rest of Mark, we're going to see exactly what he did and what really happened as he went through it. But the thing that we have to understand in the midst of this is not only did Jesus go the way of the cross, every one of us in here who choose to follow Jesus, guess what? You're going to go the way of the cross. There's no way to avoid it. And so we have to understand what the way of the cross really means, because it prepares us mentally, because it is going to happen. Now, I want to say this right off the bat. I don't want this to be a bummer. I don't want you to leave here being heavy and weighed down, so hopefully it won't be. And again, we'll leave here rejoicing in the Lord. But there are serious things in the Bible, and there are things in the Bible that are more lighthearted, almost, you would say, as far as how they minister to us. That is, we read about the things that we're going to be rejoicing about, and we rejoice with that. But when we read about the things that can be a little bit heavier, there's serious moments. And you know, as they walked with Jesus, they had those moments. They had the serious moments. And then they had the moments that were just, you know, rejoicing and just enjoying the Lord. I'm sure they had many moments of laughter and just kind of being together. And I can imagine when the tone would change, all of a sudden there'd be a seriousness to the Lord. And he'd look at the guys and say, guys, I need to share something with you now. And I can imagine them looking at him and kind of having that, you know, looking in his eye and thinking, you know, what is it you're going to say, Lord? And really today is going to be one of those days. It's one of those times where the Lord looks us in the eyes and says, you know what, I have something serious to tell you. And that's really the message that's in my heart today. And the message that we're going to see over the next few weeks. Now, don't worry, we're going to have the joy of the Lord. And we're going to be talking about the hope that we have and all that comes with this. Because when you follow the Lord, there is great reward. There is joy. Remember we saw last week, the Lord said, if you give up everything and follow me, he says, I'll give you houses and family and lands and all these things. He said, I will bless you. And here it is. Here we are. We share our lives together. That's what the Lord was talking about. He said, I'll give all that to you. But now he's going to shift gears and begin to tell them today, after telling them about all the good things that they had coming in this life and the next, he now begins to shift gears and say, but guys, I've got to talk to you serious for a moment. And that is, I'm about to go on a way that is not going to be pleasant. And you as my followers, you're going to be going on that same way as well. And guys, guess what? We are his followers, which means there's going to be times in our life as we walk along this path, you know, as we take the path with Jesus, there's going to be different seasons we go through and different times that we go through. And the way of the cross, especially as we start getting toward the cross, is not something that we enjoy, but it's something we have to understand and realize it wasn't just watching Jesus suffer. Guys, we're going to go through that as well. And note this, we're going to go through the very same things that the Lord went through, except for dying for the sins of the world. You know, none of us in this room, probably none of us in this room are ever going to go and literally die on a cross. Probably none of you are ever going to do that. Probably none of us in this room are ever really going to die for our faith. Maybe some of you might, I don't know, but probably not. But the bottom line is every single one of us is going to have to take up our cross and follow the Lord. And if we don't understand what that means, we're not going to understand the days that lie ahead. I think that we've been very sheltered in America, and I'm happy for that. And I don't mean to lay something heavy on us, but as you know and as you can see, times are changing in the world and times are changing in America. And the reality is the Christian is not looked upon as favorably as the Christian used to be looked upon in America. And it's not going to get any better unless there's a revival. Now, I'm praying for revival, and maybe there will be revival, but it seems to get worse each generation. And so we need to be prepared to know what exactly does that mean. You see, the Bible not only says that if we choose to walk the way of the cross, we will suffer for his sake. But note this, we're going to suffer in the exact same ways. And that's why we're going to take some time to look at all these ways over these next verses that the Lord suffered. Because each one of them, you're going to go through. At some point or another, you're going to go through this. You can rest assured. If Jesus did it, you will too. Romans 8, 16 through 17 says this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Note this, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So notice that. We get the reward, but we have to suffer with him in order to get it. And then Paul says again in Philippians 3:10, and you can jot these down for later if you're a note taker. But Paul says in Philippians 3:10, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And note this, and the fellowship, note that word, and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think about fellowship in suffering. I don't think about suffering as fellowship. I think about suffering as suffering. I think about fellowship as fellowship. This is fellowship. Hanging out with the believers. This is fellowship. That's what it is. But the fellowship of suffering, what he's saying is the Lord had to go through it, and we're going to have to go through it as well. You might say, all right, great. Now you've lifted me up, Mark. I'm ready. I'm prepared for this great Father's Day, and I'm on top of the world. Thanks a lot. Well, here's the good news, guys. Listen, we have to be honest, and there has to be the honest discussion about what it means to follow Jesus. But notice the good news. In 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13, Peter said this, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. Notice that. That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Notice that. Not only fellowship in his sufferings, but you will partake in his sufferings. And the bottom line is it's something that we have to do. Here's the point of it all. If we choose to be a true disciple and go the way of the cross, we will have to suffer the same things Jesus did, and yet we also get glory with him in the kingdom. Now, we're not going to have the glory that he has. He's the Lord. But guys, we have glory. Now, when I say that I despise the shame, listen, if you despise what comes with the way of the cross from time to time, then you're not alone. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I don't love to walk with the Lord. I don't love Jesus and want to be with him. I do. But guys, I hate the way of the cross oftentimes. I despise what comes with it oftentimes in just the way that the persecution and the attacks and all that comes with that stepping out and saying, I'm going to step out for Jesus. You know, I've often again, you know, told our kind of joke to our staff. I still never found it. But if I find the shirt, I'm going to do it. And I've told you guys, you know, a lot of people, they come on staff or they start serving in the church. Maybe they don't even come on staff. They just serve in a certain area. And they come to me and they say, what in the world happened? Why is my life falling apart when I decided to serve Jesus? Here's what's happening. You're now a target. And I remember telling, I think what I'm going to do if I can, if I find these, you're going to see them show up one day. I'm going to buy our ministry leaders a shirt that has a target on it. And whenever somebody steps up and says, hey, I want to get involved in kids ministry, I'm going to say, here's your shirt. God bless you. And have them just look at it for a while and say, now when I put this on, the target's on me. That's right. Because if you don't do anything for Jesus, you're not a threat and no one's going to bother you. Not the world, not Satan. But if you step out and say, you know what, warts and all, here I am, get ready. Because gang, it's coming. And you've got to make up your mind. Am I going to walk that way or not walk that way? And some of you right now say, well, maybe I don't want to walk that way now that you're saying it that way. But understand, if we follow Jesus, if we choose to follow him, we all have to go that way. Every one of us. We have to do it. And yet there's joy said at the end. What did Jesus say? The Bible says about the Lord. It says he despised the shame of the cross. Note that. He despised it. But he said he did it. Why? For the joy set before him. In other words, one day it's all going to be worth it. It's all going to be worth it one day. Everything's going to make sense. You're going to realize why your life has been so hard. It's all going to make sense. But right now, some of you are going, I don't understand why it is. You know what? Right now, maybe some of you are hearing for the first time why it is. If you've decided you're going to go for it in the Lord, get ready. It goes with the territory. It's part of it. And yet it shouldn't scare us away. You know, again, we need to have that combat mindset. It's interesting. In the military, they teach what is called the combat mindset. What do I mean by that? That is, with the combat mindset, just because you get shot doesn't mean you have to stop fighting. You see, we see on TV and the guy's, and the guy falls down, right? Did you know that the majority of time when you're hit by a bullet, it doesn't knock you down? Matter of fact, 85% of people, according to statistics, that are shot with guns live. Only 15% die. The problem is, in the combat mindset in the military, they say they've got to get out of the mind of those in the military that just because you're shot doesn't mean you stop fighting. Just because you're shot doesn't mean you lay down. You get shot and you, oh, that's gross, I got shot, let's go. And you grab your gun and you keep going and you patch the hole the best you can and you try to get to a medic and whatever the case might be. But the problem is, the guys that just lay down when they're shot, guess what they end up? Dead. Because they either lay there and bleed to death, or somebody comes along and finishes them off. And so they say, no, you need the combat mindset. Keep fighting until your body stops, don't you? That's why when you see these people that are all messed up on drugs and alcohol, and the cops can shoot them 50 times, they keep coming at them until their body stops. Because they don't say, oh, I've been shot, I better lay down. They keep going till the ticker quits ticking. Now, what is my point in that? Guys, you're going to get shot. And you're going to get shot a lot. Sometimes it's a bullet or two. Sometimes it's an Uzi round. I mean, just you're wiped out. Get the combat mindset and say, Lord, I'm going to get the face like flint. We're going to see that Jesus did that today. He had the combat mindset, if you will, combat for the Lord and fighting for the Lord. I just can say I've been walking with the Lord now for 21 years. And I can honestly say I'm just now beginning to understand the way of the cross. Just now a little bit. Because it seems like the first few years you walk with the Lord, he just really kind of cuddles us, doesn't he? Nothing bad really seems to happen for the most part. We might have tragedies or whatever. When it comes to our walk in the Lord, it's almost like a newborn baby. When you have a newborn baby, you pick them up, and oh, aren't they cute, and you hold them, this and that. And one day, you know, you change the diapers, and you teach them to walk. And one day you say, you know what? Okay, I've changed enough diapers. I've taught you to walk. It's time to go. And suddenly you find out you're on your own. You're riding the bike, and dad's not holding it anymore. And you've got to learn how to make it balance on your own. And then you get out there, and you start the warfare for the Lord. And you know what? You begin to get some of the persecution the Lord got. You begin to get some of the attacks he got. And you begin to realize it. And you, typically what we do is we whine, right? This is so hard. I don't like this. This is not fair, whatever. The Lord says, I'm teaching you. Get the combat mindset. You don't stop just because you've been shot. You keep going because the battle's still raging. It's interesting. John Stott wrote this. He said, few men of this century have understood better the inevitability of suffering than Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, just so you'll know, this was a man who was in the midst of the Nazi regime. And during the time of the Nazis over in Germany, most of the church just laid down and gave in. Nobody really spoke up very much. Some of the church did, but the majority of the church went right along with the Nazis and killing the Jews and everything else. They may not have been pulling the triggers, but they weren't really saying anything. They were scared. They were hiding and not speaking up. Not Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This guy said, I'm going to speak the truth no matter what. And it cost him his life. He seems never to have wavered in his Christian antagonism, it says, to the Nazi regime, although it meant for him imprisonment, the threat of torture, danger to his own family, and finally, death. Note this, he was executed by the direct order of Heinrich Himmler in April 1945 in the Flossenbürg concentration camp only a few days before it was liberated. Wow. It was the fulfillment of what he had always believed and taught. And that is this, and I quote, he said, suffering is the badge of true discipleship. Guys, note that. It's the badge of true discipleship. Now, some of us bring suffering on ourselves because we're rude or whatever, we're causing it. But if you're making a stand for Christ and you're suffering because of it, guys, it's a badge. It's a badge of honor. You know, Jesus said this, they'll know you're Christians by the love you have one for another. But there's another side to that. I believe they'll also know you're Christians by the suffering that you're enduring for the name of Christ. And that's what he was talking about. He goes on and says this, the disciple is not above his master. Following Christ means suffering because we have to suffer. That is why Luther reckons suffering one of the marks of the true church. Interesting. And one of the memoranda drawn up in preparation for the Augsburg Confession similarly defines the church as such, and I quote, the community of those who are persecuted and martyred for the gospel's sake. That's you. That's who you are, guys. Discipleship means allegiance to the suffering Christ and is therefore not at all surprising that Christians should be called upon to suffer. Here's the bottom line. If we choose to be a true follower of the Lord and a disciple and walk the way of the cross, we're going to suffer. It's part of the program. It goes with it. Maybe not the degree the Lord suffered, but we suffer. Notice verse 32. Let's get into it. It says, now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid, and they took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Now note this. It is interesting here that right after Jesus told them in the previous verses, if you remember last week, he said, guys, you're going to be blessed. Remember, Peter said, Lord, hey, wait a minute. That guy walked away. The rich young ruler walked away sad. What do we get if we follow you? He said, you've left everything to follow me? Yes, what do we get? He says, sure, you're going to get. You're going to get hundredfold, families, houses, lands, all this hundredfold because you're following me. And now right after that, what does he say? He's going to begin to say to them, guess what? You're also going to get with persecutions. And now we're going to see the Lord begin to focus in on some of the persecutions. And he goes before them as an example now in this suffering, and they can even see it on his face. Although they didn't yet understand what was going on, they knew something was wrong. The Lord had a seriousness about him. He had a look in his eye. He had a demeanor about him. Notice, first it says they were on the road to Jerusalem. It's interesting, the road here, the word road means way or path or road or course or journey. And again, it shows the journey that the Lord's on. And if you're following the Lord, you're on that road as well. Which means wherever he went, you have to go. Note that. But now there's good news to that. Notice also it says they were going up to Jerusalem. And guys, whenever we choose to take the path of following Jesus, we're going to be going up. You're always going to be on the upward curve if you're following the Lord. Philippians 3 verses 13 through 14 says this, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus. So yes, we're following the Lord on that road, but guys, we're going up. You know, I was thinking this morning, what if I just didn't follow the Lord? What if you guys just didn't follow? What if we decided we're not going to follow the Lord? I almost feel like Peter. What else would I do? What would you guys do if you didn't have the Lord to follow? I don't know. But believe me, there's nothing else that's worth following the Lord. You have the world. Yeah, maybe you'll even gain the world. Maybe you could go out there and make more money. Maybe you could, you know, go and further your degrees and do all these things. Now, there's nothing wrong in and of themselves. But one day it all runs out. One day it's all empty. It's not worth it. Following the Lord, that's where it's at, and that's what's worth it. And I love this because they weren't just going up. Notice they were going up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem means the place of double peace. And whenever you're seeking the Lord and walking on the path of following him, you're going to have that double peace in your heart. It's the result of the upward road in Christ. And although there may be difficulties, you're going to find that double peace in the Lord. God is the one that gives us the peace. But this is also interesting to me, and there's so much in this one verse. Again, that's why we're not going to get much beyond it today. But notice here, it says that the Lord went before them. That means that the Lord was walking alone. There's two things to note here. The Lord went before them, and the Lord was walking alone. And guys, note this. These are two things that we need to realize if we're going to walk with the Lord as his followers on the way of the cross, is we have to see that oftentimes we're going to have to walk before others, and we're also going to have to oftentimes walk alone. What do I mean by that? God's going to call you guys to be leaders in some form and fashion. It might be in the workplace. It might be with friends. I don't know what the situation is going to be. But God's going to put you in a situation where you're going to need to speak up. You're going to be the leader in that. And you're going to have to go before everybody else. And you know, it's interesting. When one person speaks up, other people get brave. But if nobody speaks up, it seems like that everybody's afraid. God's going to call you to be that person. But note this as well. Not just the one that God's going to call to speak up from time to time. It's also going to mean that you're going to be alone. Sometimes the whole world's going to turn around. You guys probably saw this Miss America thing. I know you did. All over the news, whatever she did. And she put her faith in the Lord and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not going to get into the whole issue. And I know that some people, you know, I'm not going to get the issue of, you know, walking around half naked in front of the world and saying you're Christian. I'm not going to get into that, okay? I've heard some of those comments. But I will say this. She made a profession of faith, did she not? She made a profession of faith, and she made a stand. And when it came to time to give the answer to that question, she gave the answer that she knew would not be popular. And guys, what happened to her? The world turned on her. And you know, it's easy at that moment to feel so alone. I've made a stand. I'm standing alone. And yet the truth of the matter is she wasn't really alone. The Lord was with her the entire time. You know, Jesus was walking alone before them. And when we follow him, we're going to find ourselves walking alone. But the Bible says when the Lord went to the cross, he wasn't alone. The Bible says that the Father was with him. I find it interesting. That whole passage about the prophecy about Jesus with his disciples, it says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And that's exactly what happened to him. Their shepherd was struck. And as soon as the shepherd was struck, what happened? The sheep scattered. And yet Jesus said, I'm not alone. He said, the Father is with me. And the only one that even came back kind of that night, remember, that stood close was, you know, well, actually two, John, commendable to John, he was there. And Peter kind of standing at a distance, but really the rest of them all took off. And guys, there's going to be times where there's going to be things that happen. Somebody's going to strike. There's going to be a question. So tell me what you think about this issue. And you're going to be surrounded by a lot of people who don't want to hear what you really think about the issue. And you're going to have a choice to make. And you're going to make that choice. And what's going to happen? As soon as you make that choice, they're going to scatter from you. It's a part of going with the territory. But we have to be courageous and realize, you know what? Sometimes we have to walk alone. I remember years ago as a youth pastor, I went to a conference out in California. I was young in the Lord. I hadn't been walking with the Lord very long. And I remember Pastor Chuck getting up and saying in front of us, he said, guys, if you're going to go into the ministry, you need to learn to walk alone. And I just kind of let that go over my head. No, walk alone. Okay, yeah, sounds kind of tough. I kind of like it. Kind of has a John Wayne feel to it. Learn to walk alone, be the tough guy. But you don't really realize what that means until the years go by. And some of you, because of decisions you've made and things you've done, you've had to learn to walk alone. Some of you this morning are learning to walk alone. Don't be in despair. It's the way of the cross. Jesus went before you, and now you're following in his footsteps. And I can promise you, although it may be lonely now from time to time, there's going to be a reward one day. There's joy set before you, and the Lord will reward you. Speaking of walking alone, William Barclay said this, there are certain decisions which must be taken and certain roads that must be walked in the awful loneliness of man's own soul. And yet, in the deepest sense of it all, even in these times, a man is not alone, for never is God nearer to him. I love it. And then when it came to faith, he said this, nothing before, nothing behind. The steps of faith fall on a seeming void, but underneath we find the rock. And so, guys, when you step out for the Lord, you're going to sometimes feel alone. You're going to sometimes feel like nobody's there. But the solid rock of the Lord is under you. And that is what Jesus was doing. Now, again, there's two other words that jump out to me in this verse, and I have them underlined. Notice there he says, as he was going before them, they were amazed and they were afraid. Now, why in the world would they be amazed and afraid? That really struck me. I'm thinking, what would be amazing and make you afraid about this? Until I remembered that in Isaiah 57, it says this, and Jesus was speaking prophetically through the prophet Isaiah when he said, for the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced, therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Guys, flint is used to sharpen things. Flint is a stone that if you strike, sparks fly off. Here comes in the combat mindset. The Lord had set his face on Jerusalem. He was going to the cross, and nothing would stop him from going to the cross. His face was set like flint, and we have to make up our mind, are we going to set our face like flint? Guys, if we're going to follow the Lord, we have to. We have to set our face and say, you know what, Lord, you did it. I'm going to follow. Remember in the movies, and I see this, you see the guy get shot. It'd be the old Western, they'd shoot him, and there'd be the bullet in the arm, you know, and this kind of thing. And they wouldn't have any kind of antiseptic or any kind of anesthesia. And they, you know, they're out in the middle of nowhere, and they say, if we don't get the bullet out, it's going to turn into gangrene, and you'll not only lose your arm or your leg, you know, it'll kill you. So we have to deal with it now. And they have the guy on the ground, and they get the tourniquet, and they wrap the tourniquet on his leg, right? And then they give him the bottle of whiskey, and he bites it off by the glass and starts guzzling it down, you know, as they get ready to do surgery, you know, and then they begin to cut his arm, and they give him a towel, and he bites on the towel, okay. They pull out the, you know, I used to do that, bite on the towel with splinters, but anyway, they would bite on the towel and bite down really, well, splinters can be really hard, okay, they can be just, anyway, biting down hard on the towel, and they take it out. Why? He would not have done that if he hadn't had to do it and realize I have to set my face to do this difficult task no matter how painful it is. Guys, that's what Jesus did on the cross. He had to set his face. He could have gotten out of this at any time. He knew where he was going. He goes, I'm not going to go. I'm going to stop now. We'll just call this whole thing off. He said, no, I'm going. My Father has asked me to do it. And if I'm going to be obedient to my Father, I've got to move forward no matter the consequences. Some of you, matter of fact, all of you, at some time in your life, if you know the Lord, you're going to be called upon to do that. And you have to grab the towel and bite down the towel and say, remove the bullet. That's just part of it. It goes with the territory. And so it's interesting, though, it says they were amazed and afraid. The word amazed here means astonished or terrified or frightened. And the word afraid means not only afraid, but in awe. So whatever it was, how the Lord looked, these guys were in awe of it. They were just amazed as he walked by himself. They could see on his face the seriousness, the weightiness, the conviction of what he was about to do because he was about to go and die for the sins of the world. And so they saw it. And they were afraid. They were astonished at this. And again, if you were facing what the Lord was facing, you would have been too. Look at verses 33 and 34. He said, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they'll mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and the third day he'll rise again. Guys, if that was what we were facing, we would have a serious look on our face as well. And so as we look at this passage today, we talk about, you know, being serious, you know, having those times of seriousness. In other words, this is one of those times, not heaviness, but seriousness. Guys, the Lord is calling you to walk the way of the cross. Do you understand what that means? Now, next week, we're going to start getting into more of the details of what it means to really walk the way of the cross. Some of you have already walked it. Some of you will walk it, but you need to understand it. But the thing I challenge us with today, guys, as we finish up, is this. Are you willing to go the way of the cross? Do you understand that you're on the way of the cross? Now, what I find interesting about this is that they didn't really know they were on the way of the cross. They thought they were on the way to Disney World, so to speak. In other words, here was their mindset. They thought, we're going to Jerusalem and Jesus is going to take over. And we're all going to rule and reign the earth. That will happen one day, but not the first time. That will happen the second time. That's why when we get a few weeks down the road, we're going to see James and John going to the Lord and saying, hey, you know, when you get there, can we get on your right hand and your left? Can we rule with you? Because they thought he was going to be ruling and reigning. But now you see the contrast of the seriousness in the Lord's face and in his heart, because he realized he was going to die for them. And so there was this whole contrast. And I find it interesting because the Lord didn't really let them, at this point, they didn't really understand what they were doing. They were just following. And maybe some of you today, you've just been following, but you've not really understood what you're doing. Listen, the way of the cross is sometimes difficult. And I can't lie to you about that. But the times of joy are worth it all. The times of the Lord, knowing you're forgiven, walking in his joy, walking in his fullness. And the Bible says one day we'll be seated in the heavens with the Lord, ruling and reigning with him forever, receiving eternal reward. That's what we look to. But in the meantime, there's going to be some interesting turns in the road. And so I guess what I would leave us with today is this. Are you willing to walk the way of the cross? Are you willing to do that and say, you know what? This is for my Father in heaven. Father, I'm going to do this for you. I understand that if I do this, it's going to be a hard road. Some of you as believers are saying, wait a minute, we already signed up. Nobody told me, right? How do we get off this train? Well, hopefully you're not saying that. But again, when you hear the seriousness, maybe some of you are. But I'm speaking to those of you that maybe haven't even made a commitment to the Lord yet. Listen, if you're already with the Lord, God's going to give you the grace to go the way of the cross. You can trust and rest in that. He'll give you the grace. But listen, if you haven't made that decision, I want you to know this. The bottom line is that the way of the cross will be difficult. Yes, it will. But the reward is eternal. And what is the option? What is the option? Eternal separation from God? Eternal misery from the Lord? I say the way of the cross is worth it. But here's the encouragement to us as saints today. And if I can leave us on an uplifted note, guys, there's going to be times you're going to have to roll up the towel and bite down hard. Get the combat mindset. Lord, I'm in this for the long haul. I know the way of the cross is difficult, but here we go. You went before me. I'm going to follow you. I know that sometimes I'll have to walk alone, but I know that I'm going to be going up. I know I'm going to be going to a place of double peace in Jerusalem. And God, I trust in you. And although I may despise the shame, I know that it's for the joy that's set before me. And Lord, I am with you. Let's make that commitment today. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray right now, first of all, for us as believers in here, or the ones that have already given our life to you. Lord, help us to understand the way of the cross is not always easy. As a matter of fact, the way of the cross means death in many ways and in many areas. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to make up our mind that we are going to walk the way of the cross. You have gone before us, and we know that you'll give us the grace to do it. But Lord, let it not be something that weighs heavy on us. Let it be something that realizes it is an honor. It is a badge of true discipleship. And Lord, we do it for the joy that's set before. One day we will partake in your glory, and we will partake in the inheritance that you have in the kingdom of God. And Lord, it's going to make it all worth it on that day. And I pray you encourage us in that. But Lord, I pray right now for any that don't know you, and maybe they've never given their life to you. They haven't made that commitment. And Lord, even hearing the way of the cross, it kind of sounds odd to give the message of the way of the cross and how hard it's going to be and expect that someone would receive you. But Lord, you put that in the heart of man. And there are those here this morning that may very well want to do just that. Because of what you've done for them, they're willing to follow you, Lord, and do that for you. That is to walk in your footsteps and follow the path, walk the way of the Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in here right now that wants to do that, they know that you died on the cross for them. They believe that your blood was for them. Lord, that they would pray this prayer right now. And I encourage you, if you want to give your life to the Lord, pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I've sinned against you. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Lord, I believe that you died for me on the cross. And I ask you to cleanse me and wash me clean. And I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. I give my life to you, Lord. And Father, I pray now for those, if any, that pray that prayer, that you would now fill them with the joy that comes with giving their life to you and following you. And I pray, God, you'd pour your Spirit out on them in power. And we thank you, Lord, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.